Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, here we are again in Utah. I'm doing a three-part series for, well, women in technology, you might say. And the folks at the Women Tech Council invited me to their She Tech Explorer Day event with 4,000 young girls, high school age girls, and you will hear them. They're in the background, and it's a distinctly feminine sound of the rumble in the background, which is, it's for me, fun, because I go to a lot of trade shows, and it's a much more dulcet tone rumble. Joining me right now to talk a little bit about this whole subject is Dr. Susan Madsen, founding director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project. She's also a professor of leadership at Utah State University. Welcome, Dr. Madsen.
Good to be here.
So, here we are, all these young girls, amazing, right?
Isn't it amazing?
What I love about this is, I have a daughter and a granddaughter. My daughter is such an entrepreneur, and it happened by accident going to trade shows with me.
Perfect.
So here you literally have the youngest trade show that
this
I've ever seen. Yeah, it's all high school age girls, which is beautiful. And they're all beautiful. Each in their own way, you have such a diverse, unique look to all these young people. And Utah is doing a really, really great job.
And just having all of these young women who are, you know, junior high, high school, more high school.
Oh, even some junior high girls,
yeah.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah, here in one place is really important because
For 4 hours. 4,000 girls, 4 hours. Amazing.
But what's so impressive about this, and I love the Women Tech Council, by the way, who is hosting this along with other partners, is that a lot of times in Utah and other conservative states, I will say, a lot of girls and young women are raised not to see that they have all these options. So they think, well, I'll be an elementary school teacher or in healthcare or whatever. And what I love about this event is that it opens girls' minds to see other women starting companies, doing things in tech. So you can't be what you can't see.
Wow.
And this helps people, when they're young, see that, wait, I have other options. And it's not just one career, but I could have this, and I could also be a mom if I want to. And it's not or, it's and. That's
right.
What I love.
I love it. You know, you can't be what you can't see, and you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And there was a guy on last week's show that talked about it. He said that the local Air Force base needs 3,000 people in technology, and they're here trying to recruit some of those, you know, future employees.
And especially and I've been up on the Air Force base, in more masculine fields. So technology, as you know, you can have in feminine fields, masculine, you can have technology and everything. But the people that are really struggling are the more masculine, and most, in Utah, we have a lot of masculine.
Yeah.
But Army, Air Force, those are very masculine, and there's so many. But girls, when we're raised, we don't see ourselves in those areas. And so I love that they're here. Because we need to know, as girls and women, that we have a lot of options, and we can pick and choose.
Well, the military's here, so Air Force.
Absolutely.
Coca-Cola, one of the biggest bottler companies in the world, is here. Yeah, I got some launching a new flavor. You have technology of every kind, from renewable power to Utah Tech University right behind us.
Yes.
You have a interesting slogan, I think I heard. Did I hear it right? Bolder way forward. And I'll say, fortune favors the bold, right?
Yeah.
So this, talk about that.
Well, this is, and technology and women in STEM is a piece of this. So this is something that really came to me a little over a year ago, and we launched in June of 2023. So when you look at the state of Utah, in general, we really are the worst state for women's equality by Wallet Hub, and we struggle with many things.
Really?
That's
amazing.
Well, more conservative religious states tend to be down at the bottom with us. Huh. And there's lots of reasons for that. We have the widest pay gap in the nation. Wyoming was always worse than us till this last year. We have the widest pay gap. And so this bolder way forward says, okay, if we keep doing the things we're doing now, even though there's awesome stuff happening, it's not moving the needle. If we keep doing the same things, it's going to take 3 to 4 decades to make notable progress. And included in all those are we have high violence rates against women. There's a lot of different things. And people are not seeing their opportunities as well. So this is really a systems thinking. I'm not sure if you're in that space, a collective impact where how can we do things in 7 years that would take 30 to 40 years normally? It's like for my daughter, my granddaughters, we don't have that much time. We need to do better in making sure boys and girls thrive, not just men and boys.
I agree, and I'm going to give you some more time.
Oh. Okay.
So hang tight. Let's take a commercial break. We're talking to Dr. Susan Madsen, founding director of Utah Women and Leadership Project, professor of leadership at Utah State University. And if you want more information on this Boulder Way Forward, it's abolderwayforward.org. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly at the SheTech Explorer Day in Salt Lake City. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, once upon a midnight period, woke with something in my head.
Attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back once again. Dr. Susan Madsen with us, founding director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project. They are working on something, a bolder way forward for Utah. Now, I think this is, of course, it's a national radio show and really a global program because of our podcast at entrepreneur.com. This magazine and this brand, you might say, Entrepreneur Media, is worldwide. So this could be something that somebody could reach out from anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. So just so you know, no other state is doing anything or attempting anything like a Boulder Way Forward. So we just got it launched, like I said, but I think it could be, I've had people actually from other countries too already hear about it and reach out. And I'm like, let me have another 6 months to lay the, we call it, we're building the bridges, we're walking on it, to lay more slats down and nail them down. But
you.
What we're trying to do is to shift things in 7 years. What would, even if we do a lot of different good things, take 3 to 4 decades? And so technology, women in tech, and women in STEM is a chunk of the work that we're doing. And it's so critical. We have in Utah, we have so many tech companies in Utah. And we're a great place for entrepreneurship. And
How can this entrepreneur world and Entrepreneur Magazine help? I guess we're getting the message out this way.
We are.
Let's make sure. So I'm looking at this. It says we have 5 broad categories with 18 key areas where change needs to occur.
Absolutely.
What are those 5 categories?
So one of them is safety and security, and that's a big concern of mine. That has what we're calling spokes. It's a wheel of change. Things like domestic violence, sexual assault, child sexual abuse, sexual harassment.
Wow.
Those things are all critical.
Yeah.
We have to, and we're not alone. We're not the only state that has issues with these. But we're saying, this is unacceptable. We're going to work together to change.
Good for you guys for
and
doing
there's
this.
Some connections with that. And another one of the spokes or categories is education. We have the biggest gap in the nation of men and women getting graduate degrees.
Mm.
And so we want to change that and other things as well. There's another category of health and well-being. So there's a tie-in between entrepreneurship and you know, finances and other kinds of things, right. but also your mental and physical health. So our biggest one, however, relates most to what you're talking about, and that's workforce. The pay gap, but we have a specific spoke we're calling on entrepreneurship. The movement is systems thinking, where if we all continue to just do pieces and parts and not coordinate them and not look at the gaps as a whole, we're not going to move forward. So our entrepreneurship spoke is pulling together anybody in the state that's doing work on women and entrepreneurship. And everybody has their piece and part, but can we bring together and coordinate and find the gaps and have resources come together that can shift things in more bold, fast ways for my daughter and granddaughter, for my neighbors?
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship and women in tech, they're both critical areas. And if we get more women in STEM fields, our pay gap may, and other things may, poverty
yeah.
and homelessness. I mean, there are some issues with that. So
I was looking at these 18 areas of focus: childcare, pre-K programs, child sexual abuse, domestic violence, entrepreneurship, finance, gender pay gap, health across the lifespan, higher education attainment, home and family, on and on and on. This is just brilliant. These are all areas you say we need change to occur.
We have to have change
right?
to occur in all of them.
It's beautiful
and
that
so
you guys
I love,
are showcasing
yeah.
and highlighting this, shining a spotlight on this, and not just pushing it under the carpet.
That's what we have to do to change.
Yeah. abolderwayforward.org.
Yes. They can see this could be a good example for any other state. And
I was
going to
say that.
Oh,
that's fine that you took my line because this is universal.
Yeah.
It really is. It just happens to be that we're sitting here in Utah
yeah.
and you're heading this up. So good. Good for you. Dr. Susan Madsen, thank you very much.
Wonderful to
thank
chat
you for
with
all
you.
These 4,000 girls. They have no idea who they've got sitting here at the head of all this and helping it all happen. So thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to have some more folks, 4,000 girls walking by, not all at once, but you can hear them. I'll be trying to do my best to bring some of the folks here from the event to talk to you on Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly. Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The Maloof Foundation is confronting this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But this cause can't be won alone. Learn how you can join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity at MaloofFoundation.org. That's M-A-L-O-U-F Foundation.org.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Once again, we are here at the Women Tech Council SheTech Explorer Day. Entrepreneur Weekly, just checking out what's going on. I'm blown away. 4,000 young girls, junior high and high school age, I find. And I thought some of them looked really young. And now I find out it's because they're in junior high. They're here to find out maybe what may their future look like with some of these tech companies. Amelia Wilcox joining us, who I know and we've interviewed before, CEO and founder of Novati. Refresh everybody's memory about Novati. What do you guys do? And then why are you here?
Novati is a mental health and wellness platform for employees, and then we also work with university students and faculty as well. And we are here today talking to lots of high school students. I actually brought my own daughter who's in high school with us as well, who's into the sciences, and just kind of exploring the opportunities. You know, they say you can't be what you can't see.
She just said that a little while ago.
Yeah,
I thought that's
yeah.
great. Yeah, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't be what you can't see.
Yeah.
It's good. It's true. Well, so, I mean, have you gotten any feedback from your daughter? We should get her
yeah,
up here. You know?
Yeah, we should.
Right?
We should interview her. No, I mean, mostly lots of high school kids just coming up and asking questions about what it means to be a woman leader or how to get into tech as a female or, you know, what are some of the challenges? How do
right,
you build resilience?
Hold still. Let's talk about that. What does it mean to be a woman leader? You've done some amazing things. I know a little more about your story. And you have overcome. So is that an entrepreneur trait, or is there an extra level of difficulty because you're also a woman? And just give us a little moment on that.
Yes, it's definitely a leader trait, something that you have to have and develop to be a good leader. But I think being a female leader comes with its own particular nuances in that one of the things people will reference a lot is that it's like, it would be okay for a man to say something like strong and direct. And that's like, well, that's a good leader. But if a woman says it, she comes off as like a B word. And it's like, you can't be like that, right? Like, we're expected to be like nice and pleasant all the time. And otherwise, people may write you off as being hormonal or unstable.
Oh,
and so there is like a double standard in the way you interact with people.
I get that a little bit. If I haven't had coffee, it's the equivalent of being hormonal. Because I'm in a bad mood because I haven't had coffee. Or if I've had too much coffee, then I'm going into lunch period. I'm hangry with too much coffee. So I guess I understand that a little bit, but that's as far as I can go with that. Have you seen the movie Cabrini yet?
I haven't. It's on my list.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to love it. It came out on National Woman's Day, which was March 8th. And I took my wife to see it, and she was blown away. I've noticed that a lot of other people in the media and news are, like, blown away because Sister Cabrini wanted to start orphanages. So it was about kids, right? And she was very passionate about kids. But she was seen, as you talked about the B word, standing up against the man, you might say, the system that was in the early 1900s. Clearly, I think she was in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Clearly a man's world at that time. And she was a nun, a sister. And so then, you know, she had to learn how to move forward with this thing called grace, but still be assertive. And these are the qualities that are required, I think, in the world to be able to do that as in a leadership role, not just for women, for men and women. That makes a great leader, something called grace. But having the courage and the grit and the confidence and the faith in yourself and in the Creator, I guess you could say, to be able to move ahead and do what you know is right because you know it's right. And you sometimes people say, how do you know? And you just say, because I know. And that's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I just feel it.
Driven by something like deep-seated inside,
that's right.
Passionately pushing them forward.
That's right.
Even when it defies logic.
And that's it right there. How do you explain that to these young people? Because the one person said the other day, because this is my second show from this event, they said something about, you must be who you were born to be. And I thought, this was a man who was a mentor telling these young girls, you got to be who you are. Don't let the world change you. And I thought, wow, that was such cool advice from a man to a little young girl like that. Do you feel that's important? I mean, are you who you were created to be?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, I was actually just talking to another female entrepreneur this week who reached out to me because she is like newly in this kind of CEO role in this 15-year-old company. And she was saying how it's lonely because there aren't a ton of female CEOs, but also that she's just kind of, how do you get there? How do you develop that?
Right.
And yeah, so I think it's important.
It's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a journey. Having that network surrounding you is also like very valuable. I think in like the female entrepreneur space, there aren't a ton of them, especially here in Salt Lake, pretty tight-knit group of people that can like buoy you up and like go through some of those same challenges together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be kind of lonely.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is that harkens you to find a real relationship with the real you and to kind of feel good in your own skin.
Yeah.
That's part of the journey of leadership. You know?
Yeah, and I think to like you, what you were talking about a minute ago, like being driven by that like deep-seated passion of and like this direction of you being who you are, I think it has to be even more present in women if they're going into entrepreneurship because they're less of them and it's kind of like they're going against the grain, especially if you're a
swimming,
woman in tech.
Salmon swimming upstream, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
NIVATINavati.com, Amelia Wilcox. Nice seeing you again.
Good to see you.
Glad to see you here at the SheTech Explorer Day. All right, we're going to take a break and be right back with more from Salt Lake City.
Attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, welcome back once again here in Salt Lake City at the Women Tech Council SheTech Explorer Day. There's 4,000 young girls here trying to find out maybe a little bit about what their future might be. Our next guest is Jessica Gelman, no relation to Michael Gelman, who's a friend of mine on Live with Kelly and her husband now, Mark. And I'll actually be on the show on the 26th, 7th, and 8th, I believe, which is kind of a funny, interesting. Jessica, I happen to be interacting with Michael Gelman right now, and I said to you, any relation? And you said, well, I could be.
I could be, and sometimes I say I am.
Yeah, right.
But no, we're not actually related. Well, I've been dying to meet him.
Oh, well,
so tell him I say
listen,
hi.
Go to New York with me, and you can be in the audience. So, CEO and investor, Craft Analytics Group, KAGR.com, part owner of the Utah Royals, a brand new soccer team. Also on the board of the NWSL, which is the National Women's Soccer League. So where do we start with you? You got a lot going on, lady.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is I kind of didn't realize I was an entrepreneur.
And I love that.
Now I'm really part of three different startups in various ways. So KAGR, which is the first one you mentioned, Craft Analytics Group. It's a play on compounding annual growth rate, but with a K, KAGR. You know, that's a company that we officially spun out of Craft Sports and Entertainment 8 years ago with a focus on helping teams and leagues understand their fans better. And we work across all of the major professional leagues and everyone that you might think of, the NFL, the 76ers, the Sacramento Kings, the Eagles, and help them. We're their data warehouse. So very like tech heavy, but it was rooted.
That's awesome.
Thank you. It was rooted in the learnings from my time with the Patriots running the business operations and the challenges and needs that we had. So this is why I'm saying I didn't realize I was an entrepreneur because it was a pain point that we had internally. And then with the Crafts, we founded KAGR. The other one is that you didn't mention, but is the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference.
Oh, yeah. I didn't write that one down. Yeah. What else haven't I told them about that you've done that is absolutely epic?
You're hilarious. But it's the largest sports analytics conference in the world. We just had our 18th
annual. And I forgot about it, right?
No, we had people from 34 different countries.
That's awesome.
45 states. But
well, next time have me there and we can do a show together.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. I will say that the show that did happen was Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, so could be tough to compete with.
Hey, I'll compete. I'm okay. I'm an entrepreneur. I like a David and Goliath story.
And then the Utah Royals, you know, this is the investment in women's sports and using analytics to drive and affect change, both on the field and in terms of engaging fans, is really what we're doing with the Royals and bringing to bear. And women's sports has not historically had an analytics focus.
Well, you know what? These girls are probably all fans of Taylor Swift, wouldn't you think?
I have a great Taylor Swift story if you want to
hear
about
it. Well, I was going to say, they have no idea that you are the Taylor Swift of STEM. You really are, just so you know. Tell me your Taylor Swift story.
Well, I was telling some of the girls because I said, oh, are you guys fans of sports? And many of them are, but some are not, right? Some are just, they're wanting to apply tech and data and analytics to different parts. So the story is that we did a piece of work where we were trying to understand
what is the best, it was for the World Cup coming up in 2026, what is the like peak that stadiums that are hosting could expect? And so we looked at all of the college sports, the NBA finals, the Super Bowl, college football playoffs, everything. And how does a Taylor Swift concert compare? There's only one event that drives more engagement, more fandom for a venue than a Taylor Swift concert. And it's the Super Bowl. And that only happens once. And Taylor Swift does it 3 days in a row.
She's a multi-billion dollar phenomenon.
She's a genius. So yeah. I'm not suggesting, well, I appreciate the comparison, but I think it's a little far-fetched.
No, but I mean, these girls don't know who you are. But with all of what you've done, you are, I mean, so let me ask you then, what are you doing here? Right?
Well, listen, I think for me,
because you're a rock star.
Oh, thank you very much. Having comfort with data and tech and analytics was a big differentiator. And I think for many women and many girls, that's an area, STEM overall, that they don't necessarily understand the power of it in terms of providing a different voice, especially when you're a minority within a business setting or within a...
Well, and they could be a double and triple down minority in this world today.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's absolutely the case. And by the way, I wouldn't just say, yes, it isn't necessarily just women. But it's a perspective and a viewpoint, and it's not rooted on who's talking the loudest in the room, who knows people.
And some of these young people, because of their minority and because they're female, they walk in with a toe tag on that says dead on arrival. You know?
Absolutely. So I think that the reason I'm here in Utah is obviously because...
You're not from here.
No, it's because of the Utah Royals.
Okay.
And
which you're part owner of.
Right.
Okay.
And the passion for this... What's amazing about Utah, obviously, is this is a huge tech hub.
Yeah.
And bringing in the opportunity with the other owners of the Royals, including Ryan Smith and David Blitzer, to have an analytics-first organization... And to bring that to the women's side is really powerful. And so for us, sports is communal. It brings people together. And it should inspire. This is currently the only women's sports team in Utah. This hopefully will inspire girls to think about what they can learn from sports and then what those learnings and how that will apply to the rest of their lives. So they'll, maybe they'll be inspired by... You know, by the girls on the team or the women on the team. But also, I think for boys, too, it's very important to see it and respect it, to see women leading, to see women being successful. So,
well, it's happening in basketball right now, too, in the women's world.
Kaitlyn Clark is
unbelievable.
She's unbelievable what she's doing. And you know what? It's funny because a number of people have, she just obviously broke or recently broke the all-time scoring record for the NCAA beating Pete Maravich or topping Pete Maravich. And people were trying to maybe use data to suggest that what she did wasn't that impressive compared he only played for 3 years and all of this. But here's the data, the counter data. The quality of the competition that she's been playing against is lights out.
Yeah.
She's been playing against the, I mean, she's the Iowa's number
three. Well, human beings have evolved in every way, shape, and form. And you look at runners and race car drivers and everything. Everybody's breaking records constantly. So you're right. You called it what again? Reverse data? What did you call it? Anti-data? What did you call it?
No, I said that
it's
people...
It's a word I haven't heard yet.
Well, no, I said it's a counter.
Counter data.
It's another...
Okay,
people
gotcha.
Are using data on one side to say, oh, the three-point line didn't exist when Pete Maravich played.
And, yes.
But then the counter is the quality of the competition that she's playing against.
Yeah.
Which is not even close to the same.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know what? You're too awesome to let go. I'm going to do one more segment with you if I can do that.
Yeah, of course.
All right, hold tight, everybody. Jessica Gelman here, CEO and investor, Kraft Analytics Group. And that's Kager.com, K-A-G-R.com. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Hi, it's Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly. Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The National Children's Alliance reports that almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year, with 65% of child abuse cases involving sexual exploitation. The Maloof Foundation exists to confront this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But making a difference can't be done alone. To create the greatest impact, they're going to need your help and mine. Do like I did and join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to confront child sexual exploitation and learn how you can preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity. I just want to repeat this one last time. The National Children's Alliance reports almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year. You can help. Let's do it together. At MaloofFoundation.org. That's M-A-L-O-U-F Foundation.org.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly on location today in Salt Lake City, Utah. Women Tech Council's She Tech Explorer Day. Sitting here with an amazing woman, Jessica Gelman, CEO and investor at Kraft Analytics Group. And she's also part owner of the Utah Royals, a brand new soccer team here in Salt Lake City. She's also on the board of the NWSL. And too many other things. I said that she is the Taylor Swift of STEM. You said something in the commercial break, and I'm just going to say it for you. You said something about giving back is important to you, and I just want you to take off from there.
I was really lucky. I was born right as Title IX came in and had opportunities to play sports that my mom didn't have. Certainly my grandmother never had. I remember when I was graduating from Harvard, I played basketball at Harvard. I was walking with my grandmother, and she said, never did I think that a woman would graduate from Harvard, let alone my granddaughter. And so the young women today, like, to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that they have and to be inspired by, there's incredible women who are here that have done such impressive work. So giving back and trying to pay it forward is really important. And again, from my experiences working in the sports world for most of my career, this is something that people have incredible passion for. And raising awareness for the NWSL, for the Utah Royals, the fact that we're back, and we want families to bring their daughters and their sons to games to be inspired. So women can aspire to be great athletes, but then also boys can see women succeeding and achieving. And so it's critical for all of us. I think I call it, like, how do we use our platforms to affect change into the future? And that's a big focus for me and for my wife, too.
It's a, you know what?
Focus.
If you weren't wearing a headset, I'd say that's a mic drop right there. But
you
don't, please don't drop my headset with a mic on. With this event here, are you looking for anything in particular? Are you trying to do anything? Are you on stage? What is your role here?
I was on stage as part of the first group.
Okay.
And they asked us to share one interesting data point, is what they asked me about fandom.
What is it?
So what I talked about was specifically, we do a lot of work with the NFL.
Fandom.
Fanalytics.
Yeah. Fanalytics. I love it.
Fanalytics. Work that we've done with the NFL, where we have identified the number of people who go to a game who are not fans, non-home fans. They're not fans of that team, so that you can create the right messages at the right time to the right customers. So the case study use case here is through the work of the segmentation to identify 15% plus on average across the league of fans traveling in, not fans of the team that is hosting the game. How do you market and target the right people to come and identify fans that you should be targeting? So the results is that we did literally one behavior-based performance marketing campaign, and it drove millions of dollars for a team.
Well, see, what's nice about this is that these young girls, 4,000 of them, can see you. You are the accelerated version of what they could be if they apply themselves, and they love STEM, they love technology, they love analytics, because I think women are a little more analytical anyway. They just seem like they work better. Watching how harmoniously all these folks work here with the Women Tech Council, it's amazing. They're always smiling and patting each other on the back, and they're friendly and nice, and they kind of get it. Their love language, you might say, works well with each other, right? Where guys are like, you know, well, grunting.
I think the main thing...
Not that guys only grunt, I get it.
But. Well, I think the main thing that I want to share, I kind of started out by saying I didn't know I was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I think for many girls in particular, the thinking isn't that I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. And I was fortunate that I was put in opportunities and identified things to be able and go to start businesses, several of them at this point in time.
Yeah.
But the real way to affect change is to run the damn thing.
Yeah.
So having women, having you here at this event, seeing you interviewing women is aspirational for them too.
Yeah.
And even the concept of what is an entrepreneur, that they don't need to just go and do and work for someone, that they can also be the owners and creators.
Mm. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing this, and you coming here to share this with these all these young girls and people, because you are kind of a rock star. I'm looking at what you've done. I'm like, my God, I'm envious of all the things that you've done. And look at you. You look great,
Thank you, by the way.
Love
just
that.
Just trying to have fun.
You got a nice thing going on there, you know?
Thank you.
And I think we match. We're both wearing
blue.
We
do. We look good.
Right?
Well, I hope you'll come to a game this year.
You know what?
Next time you're on Utah. The weather's nice here.
Yeah. Where do you go all over then, I take it?
Yeah, so actually, we're based in Boston.
Oh, okay.
But we'll come out here several times during the season, of course. And, I mean, Utah, I have a lot of great history here.
Nice.
You know, Bryce and Zion and Arches. And
it's a beautiful place, right?
It's beautiful, and the people are so friendly and warm, and it's a wonderful, wonderful
I don't know who Bryce is, but I'm sure he's a nice guy. But anyway. All right.
I take it you're not much of a hiker.
I haven't been to any of these places you just named off, but I'm going to go now. I'm going to mark those on my list. My friend Randy. Randy, take me to these places. All right. Jessica Gelman, I'm going to also get your phone number, and I'm going to introduce you to Michael Gelman.
Oh, my God.
Because you guys should know each other.
That would be amazing.
All right. The website, again, is kagr.com for Jessica Gelman. We're going to be right back with more from the Women Tech Council SheTech Explorer Day. Stay with us. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Once again, we are here in Utah. This event is mind-blowing to me. It's the SheTech Explorer Day, with 4,000 young girls just exploring the opportunities of life and their future ahead, all put on by the Women Tech Council. Joining us right now is Steve Starks, CEO of Larry H. Miller Group, LHM.com on the web. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Larry H. Miller Group.
We are a family investment firm. The Miller family had a variety of businesses they started in the late 70s, including owning one of the largest automotive dealer groups in the country, and then the Utah Jazz NBA team. And so we sold the Jazz in 2020 and sold our automotive group in 2021. And now,
boy, that was some good timing, was it?
It was pretty good timing.
Who's got the crystal ball over there? That's what I want to know.
We were fortunate. It was good timing. And now we invest in new platforms in real estate, healthcare, sports, and entertainment. We're actually leading the effort to bring a Major League Baseball expansion team to Utah.
Look at you.
And then we have an investment fund, all private capital, that we run as well.
Dang. Yeah. I'm telling you what, coming to Utah, I have a few friends here. My son lives over in Boise, Idaho, and I live in Oregon. But I work for, you know, a New York-based and California-based company, Entrepreneur, and work for ABC out of New York. But we live in a world today where in a very short amount of time, you can be across the country.
Yeah.
And it's only getting better and faster all the time. This little state is kicking butt, I got to tell you.
It's doing really well. Historically, Utah is known as the crossroads of the West. And I think it's becoming, in many ways, the crossroads of the world. And you have an incredible economy, strong education, youth, you know, the fastest growing state, youngest state, and a political environment that really supports business. And so a lot of capital's flown into the state, and so we're grateful to be part of it.
So this event here, give me your take on it and why you're here, what you're doing here.
Yeah, this is about creating a culture where young women in the state that are high school age can see the opportunities that are before them and become more climatized, specifically in the area of technology, but just the whole business ecosystem. And we want it to inspire confidence. I'm a father of three daughters.
Ah.
And, you know, when they see...
It helps. I have a daughter and granddaughters, and okay. It really does help to have a greater, deeper understanding of the need for this when you have daughters.
No question.
From a man's standpoint, you know.
And seeing people that are leaders that look like themselves. Seeing incredible female executives.
Right.
And
right.
Others that are getting involved in technology or doing good things in our community, I think helps inspire them. And we want Utah to be a place and the nation to be a place where young women see upward mobility and all the opportunities that lie before them and that they have equal footing. And more than that, we need them.
Yeah.
We need the perspective that comes uniquely from women. And it improves business, it improves society, and so we need them to thrive and we need to support in any way that we can, and this is what this day's about.
Well, one of the questions I have for you is about building teams, diverse teams. And you obviously, being the CEO of Larry H. Miller Group, probably have a good take on that. What are your thoughts and ideas on that?
We have three female executives at the highest level of our company. They're part of my executive team. And without their unique perspective, we wouldn't be the company that we are. And a great female mentor of mine, a woman named Natalie Gochner, who's an economist, she said something I'll never forget. She said, generally speaking, there are masculine attributes and there are feminine attributes. And for a long time in the world of business, women were taught that they needed to become more masculine to be successful. And Natalie's view, and my view certainly, is that we actually need the diversity of attributes, both masculine and feminine. And we need the perspectives that come from people with different life experiences that need to match our customer base, need to match our employee base. And so we have a female executive as an example that worked for an aerospace company. And she used to be told by all the male counterparts that she couldn't be nurturing. That was a negative.
Oh,
and she even got teased about being nurturing. And in our culture, we actually want her to be nurturing because she is an incredible executive, one of the best people I've ever worked with. And that culture that she brings and has perspective to elevates the entire employee base.
I agree.
And so that's, you know, when you think about diverse teams, that's what you get.
That's what this whole thing is about, is bringing into the light the differences. And some of them are far more important than we give credit to. Steve Starks, CEO of Larry H. Miller Group, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful insight. And thank you to the Women Tech Council. Do you have a Women Tech Council in your city, state, or country? If not, you should start one. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next time right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.